Tonight, we're taking a chilling detour into the supernatural with a tale that's pure fiction but draws eerie inspiration from whispers of real events. The mudborne mimic of Site 7 will send shivers down your spine as you drift off. While our True Crime Sleep Stories episodes normally stick strictly to the facts, we love dipping into creepy, otherworldly tales that blur the line between reality and nightmare. Are you craving more spine-tingling stories like this? Head over to our YouTube channel, Sleepy Time, Creepy Time, linked in the show notes. Now, settle in, dim the lights, and let's dive into the darkness. In the shadowed heart of the Midwest, where the Wacocon River carves through dense forests like a vein of forgotten secrets, campers have long whispered about unexplained vanishings and eerie encounters. These aren't mere ghost stories spun for thrills. They're drawn from real accounts, eyewitness testimonies shared on forums, local news clippings, and even official missing persons reports that hint at something unnatural lurking in the woods. Imagine pitching your tent under those towering oaks, the river's murmur masking footsteps that aren't quite human. What if the rustles in the night aren't animals, but a creature that mimics us, steals our belongings, and leaves behind twisted clay effigies as if to say, "I see you. I know you." Tonight, I'll recount three harrowing experiences from the same remote campground along the Wacocon, pieced together from survivors' stories and corroborated details. These events span years, but the pattern is chillingly consistent. Brace yourselves. Reality can be more terrifying than fiction. Welcome to Sleepy Time, Creepy Time, where we unearth the true horrors that hide in plain sight, backed by research and real narratives to keep you questioning every shadow. If these tales grip your soul and leave you glancing over your shoulder, smash that subscribe button, drop a 5-star review, and tell a friend, or better yet, warn them. After all, knowledge might be your only defense. Sweet dreams, if you can manage them. Now, let's dive into the darkness. Story 1, The Solitary Shadow. It began in the sweltering summer of 2018 when Sarah Jenkins, a 28-year-old freelance photographer from Chicago, sought refuge from the city's chaos in the untamed wilderness. She'd read about the Wacocon River campground online, a primitive site in southern Wisconsin managed by the State Parks Department, known for its seclusion and stunning vistas of the river snaking through glacial valleys. No electricity, no crowds, just miles of hiking trails and the soothing symphony of water over rocks. Sarah arrived late in the afternoon, her beat-up Subaru kicking up dust on the gravel access road. She chose Site 7, a secluded spot nestled among century-old oaks and maples, with a direct view of the river's lazy bend. The air was thick with the scent of pine and damp earth, and she felt a rare peace as she unloaded her gear. A compact tent, sleeping bag, cooler stocked with sandwiches and water, her Nikon camera slung over her shoulder, and a small backpack containing her journal, a few granola bars, and her most treasured possession, a silver locket engraved with her late mother's initials. As the sun dipped below the horizon, painting the sky in hues of orange and purple, Sarah set up camp meticulously. She pitched her tent facing the river, hammered stakes into the soft soil, and gathered kindling for a fire. By dusk, flames crackled in the stone-ringed pit, casting flickering light on her surroundings. She snapped photos of the fireflies emerging like ethereal spirits, their glow reflecting off the water. Dinner was simple, a hot dog roasted on a stick, followed by s'mores that melted sweetly on her tongue. In her journal, she wrote about the solitude, how it felt like the world had paused just for her. Finally, some space to breathe, she penned, unaware that something was already watching her from the tree line, its eyes glinting in the fading light. Night fell swiftly, the temperature dropping as stars pierced the canopy overhead. Sarah retired to her tent around 10 p.m., zipping the flap shut and settling into her sleeping bag. The river's gentle rush lulled her toward sleep. But around midnight, the first anomaly intruded. A soft rustling, like leaves being parted by careful hands, emanated from the underbrush. At first, she dismissed it as wildlife, a deer or raccoon scavenging, but the sounds persisted, growing more deliberate. A twig snap here, a muffled shuffle there, circling her sight with unnerving precision. Her heart quickened. She fumbled for her flashlight, its beam slicing through the mesh window, revealing nothing but swaying branches. Just the wind, she muttered, trying to convince herself. Then came the whispers. Low and guttural, they slithered through the night air, distorted, as if spoken through a mouthful of mud. Sarah! It hissed, elongating her name into a grotesque caress. Sarah bolted upright, her skin prickling with goose flesh. How could it know her name? She hadn't seen another soul all day. The voice mimicked a human tone, but warped it, laced with wet smacks like lips parting over clay. It circled the tent, sometimes from the riverside, sometimes from the woods, always just out of sight. Panic clawed at her chest. She clutched her pocket knife, its blade cold against her palm. The rustles evolved into scrapes, nails dragging along the tent's nylon fabric, testing the seams as if seeking entry. Sarah whispered frantic prayers, her mind racing through possibilities. A prankster? A deranged hiker? But the isolation was absolute. The nearest sight was a mile away. The ordeal stretched for what seemed like hours. Around 2 a.m., the sounds intensified, heavy breathing, ragged and phlegmy, as if the intruder were inhaling her scent through the vents. A shadow flitted across the tent wall, elongated, humanoid but wrong, with limbs that seemed too long, too flexible. Sarah stifled sobs, curling into a ball, every nerve on fire. She imagined claws piercing the fabric, a face pressing against the mesh. Pale, mud-streaked, with hollow eyes. Dawn finally broke, the first rays filtering through the trees, and with it, the noises ceased abruptly, as if the light repelled whatever stalked her. Trembling, Sarah emerged from her tent, the morning mist curling off the river like spectral fingers. Her fire pit was cold, ashes undisturbed, but her backpack lay open, contents rifled through. Her journal was missing, along with two granola bars and, chillingly, a clump of her own hair she'd absent-mindedly tucked into a side pocket after cleaning out her hairbrush. In their place, centered on a flat rock beside her tent, sat a small clay figure. It was rudimentary, molded by unskilled but intentional hands, about 6 inches tall, with crude features that mirrored her own. Wavy hair captured in lumps of earth, freckles dotted with tiny pebbles, and around its neck, a twisted wire mimicking her locket. The eyes were deep, empty sockets, staring accusingly. Sarah's scream echoed across the river as she dropped it. The figure cracked on impact, spilling a strand of hair, her hair, from its hollow chest. She packed up in a frenzy, abandoning non-essentials, and fled to her car. At the ranger station, she reported the incident, but the official dismissed it as vandals or her imagination, though he noted similar complaints of weird thefts in the area. Sarah never camped again. Years later, in online forums like Reddit's R Camping, she shared her story, finding echoes in others' tales of unexplained figures left in Midwest woods. She swears that on humid nights, even in her urban apartment, she hears those muddled whispers calling her back to the Wakokan, as if the creature still holds a piece of her soul. Story 2, The Vanishing Echo. Autumn 2020 brought crisp air and fiery foliage to the Wakokan campground, drawing two couples eager for a double-date escape amid the pandemic's isolation. Mark Thompson, 32, a software engineer from Milwaukee, and his wife Lisa, a teacher, joined their friends Tom Riley, 34, a construction worker, and Emily Hayes, 31, a graphic designer. They'd booked Site 7, the same ill-fated spot, via the state's online reservation system, enticed by photos of the river's autumnal glow. Locals in nearby towns whispered warnings about river ghosts, but the group laughed them off as folklore, much like the Bigfoot tales they'd heard growing up. They arrived mid-afternoon in Tom's SUV, unloading two dome tents, a portable grill, coolers brimming with beer and steaks, and camping chairs arranged in a circle around the fire pit. The day was idyllic. They hiked a trail along the riverbank, spotting deer and eagles, the leaves crunching underfoot in a symphony of reds and golds. Mark, the self-proclaimed outdoorsman, showed off his hunting knife as he carved sticks for marshmallows. Lisa and Emily gossiped by the water, skipping stones and sharing dreams of future travels. Tom, ever the jokester, regaled them with exaggerated stories of his boyhood camping trips. As evening descended, they lit a roaring fire, the flames dancing high, and grilled dinner under a canopy of stars. Beers flowed freely, laughter echoing into the night. "This is what life's about," Mark toasted, clinking bottles. They retired around 11 p.m., splitting into tents, Mark and Lisa in one, Tom and Emily in the other. The peace shattered shortly after midnight. It started subtly, twigs snapping in a rhythmic pattern like measured footsteps patrolling the site's edge. The group stirred, exchanging uneasy glances through the tent's shared wall. "It might be a bear," Tom muttered, but the sounds lacked the lumbering quality of wildlife. Then came the bizarre chorus. Clicks and gurgles, reminiscent of bones cracking beneath water, interspersed with eerie imitations of their voices.
"Mark, come play,"
it cooed from the woods, sounding eerily like Lisa, though she lay wide-eyed beside him. "I didn't say that," she whispered, her voice trembling. The mimics grew bolder.
Emily, sweetie, come out here.
In Tom's baritone, but he was frozen in fear. Huddled together in Mark's larger tent, flashlights clutched like lifelines, they listened as the noises escalated. Heavy, labored breathing encircled them. Hot and moist, fogging the tent's exterior as if a massive form pressed close. Thuds reverberated through the ground, something dragging itself nearer, its weight compressing the soil. The air thickened with a musty earthen scent, like wet clay unearthed from river depths. Shadows played on the walls, a hulking silhouette, human-like but distorted, with elongated arms that swayed like branches in a storm. "What the hell is that?" Emily sobbed, burying her face in Tom's chest. Tom, fueled by bravado and beer, snatched Mark's knife and a flashlight. "I'm not hiding like a coward," he growled, ignoring their pleas. "Stay here. I'll scare whatever it is off." He unzipped the flap and stepped into the chill night, beam piercing the fog rolling off the Wakwokan. "Who's out there? Show yourself," he bellowed. For a moment, silence reigned. Then a guttural snarl erupted, followed by Tom's agonized scream, a raw, primal wail that cut through the darkness like a blade, abruptly silenced, mid-note, as if his throat had been clamped shut. The group froze, hearts hammering, waiting for his return. Minutes stretched into eternity. Only the river's indifferent flow answered their calls. Dawn revealed the nightmare's remnants. Tom's flashlight lay shattered by the riverbank, its lens cracked, surrounded by scuffed boot prints that trailed into the shallows and vanished as if he'd been pulled under. Search parties combed the area for days, divers probing the murky depths, but Tom was never found. Authorities labeled it a tragic drowning, perhaps from disorientation, but the survivors knew better. Their campsite had been violated. One of Emily's pearl earrings gone from her bag, Lisa's smartphone missing, Mark's wallet pilfered from his jacket. In exchange, four clay figures perched on the picnic table, each a haunting replica. Mark's sported his trimmed beard in fibrous roots. Lisa's had her ponytail fashioned from twisted grass. Emily's featured wire-rimmed glasses from bent twigs. And Tom's, his was contorted in eternal agony, mouth agape, eyes hollow voids filled with river pebbles. The trio fled, haunted by survivor's guilt. In interviews with local papers and cryptid podcasts, they described the entity as a mudman, akin to folklore creatures reported in Midwest riversides. Mark claims muddy handprints appear on his windows during rainstorms. Lisa wakes to whispers mimicking Tom's voice. Emily threw away her earrings, mate, but finds clay crumbs in her pockets, as if the thief isn't done collecting. Story 3, The Fractured Clan. By late fall 2023, as winter's chill nipped at the heels of autumn, the Thompson family, a tight-knit group of five from Minneapolis, ventured to the Wakwokan for a pre-holiday bonding trip. David Thompson, 45, a sturdy mechanic with calloused hands, led the charge. His wife Karen, 43, a nurse, packed meticulously. Their kids, Jake, 17, a tech-savvy teen obsessed with video games, Mia, 12, bubbly and imaginative, and Lily, 8, the baby with a gap-toothed smile from a recently lost tooth. They chose Site 7 for its family-friendly space, arriving in their minivan loaded with a spacious tent, air mattresses, lanterns, and a cooler of hot cocoa mix and snacks. The drive through the woods was scenic, leaves swirling like confetti, but David noted an odd quietude. No bird song, just the river's persistent hush. Setup was a family affair. David hammered tent stakes while Karen inflated mattresses. Jake fiddled with his portable console. The girls collected colorful leaves for crafts. They explored the riverbank, Mia skipping stones, Lily hunting for fairy rocks. Lunch was sandwiches by the water, followed by a hike where David pointed out animal tracks. Deer, fox, but nothing alarming. As dusk fell, they built a fire, roasting hot dogs and sharing stories. Karen read from a book of local legends, chuckling at tales of river dwellers who stole from the unwary. Just myths, David assured, though a chill wind made the flames gutter. Sleep came unevenly, the tent cozy, but the night unnaturally still. Around 2 a.m., the disturbances erupted. A symphony of scrapes and moans, like clay being kneaded by colossal hands, blended with giggles that echoed the girls, but twisted into mockery. The tent vibrated as if shaken by unseen forces. David unzipped the flap a sliver, his flashlight revealing glimpses, a lumbering form in the shadows, humanoid yet malformed, its skin glistening like fresh mud, limbs extending unnaturally as it slunk between trees. "Stay quiet," he hissed, pulling everyone close. Mia and Lily whimpered, clutching stuffed animals. Jake's face paled in the lantern glow. The assault intensified. Bangs on the poles, the fabric bulging inward as probing appendages tested for weakness. A cold, slick hand, reeking of river silt, grazed Karen's ankle through a tear, eliciting her piercing scream. "It's trying to get in," she cried. The creature's breaths were audible now, ragged inhalations that sucked the warmth from the air, fog condensing on the mesh like breath on glass. Squishing sounds accompanied it, the wet mold of earth being shaped as if it crafted something amid the terror. The family barricaded with bags and coolers, enduring the siege in hushed dread, every creak amplifying their fear. Lily clung to her pillow. Mia buried her face, David gripping a tire iron like a talisman. Sunrise banished the entity, the woods returning to deceptive normalcy. But the campsite bore marks of intrusion. Jake's gaming console vanished from his bag. Mia's beloved teddy bear, gone. David's toolkit, rifled and depleted. On the picnic table, five clay figures awaited, uncannily precise. David's mustache was replicated in coarse hairs. Karen's childhood scar etched with a shard. Jake's lanky frame slouched. Mia's braids in woven vines. Lily's held her actual lost tooth embedded in a grinning maw. The family evacuated, reporting to rangers who logged it as animal activity, but online communities linked it to cryptid sightings in the region. Back home, clay dust appears in drawers. On moonlit nights, the river's call haunts their dreams, urging them to return. These Wakwakan tales, drawn from survivor accounts and echoed in broader Midwest cryptid lore, paint a portrait of the clay thief, a being perhaps born from polluted waters or ancient curses, stealing essence to mold its mockeries. missing persons files bulge with similar unsolved cases along rivers like the Wakwokan, where items vanish and effigies appear as taunts. If you're drawn to those woods, heed the warnings. Keep your fire burning, your loved ones close, and stay away from campsite number 7. For in the dark, it sculpts your likeness, and perhaps your doom. Sleep well, listeners, or don't. The night listens back. Good night.